Do you hear that, like, from your mechanic? If your keys are so heavy, it's damaging if they hang on there. So, you know, keys are a symbol in our society of responsibility, am I right? And importance. You know, when I was a resident advisor in college, they gave me a master key. And the key, it was a big deal, because if you lost it, you got a major fine. But this key would, if anyone was unable, if they got locked out and they weren't able to open a door, you had this key that could open up any door in the entire dorm. So with authority comes responsibility. And this is a lot of what we've been talking about over the last 7 weeks. God has given us authority on this earth, and he has given us keys to the kingdom. But with that comes authority and responsibility to use it for other people, amen? Because it's not, the keys aren't for us. They're for everyone else too, right? So, okay, so keys. Keys are a big deal. And, you know, how many people have a key to their business, to their company? How about when the boss goes up to you and goes, hey, you know, you've come to a certain place in our company, and I really trust you, and I'm going to give you the key to the building and the code. And you're like, I've arrived, right? They trust me. So with authority comes responsibility, and it comes to give you access to places that would otherwise be restricted, right? How many people have, in modern day, we have a key card, right? You put the key card up with the code on it. All right, well, let's do a little relationship one. How many people remember the day that the significant other that they were dating gave them a key to their home, right? But come on, y'all start smiling. You're like, yes, I have arrived. They trust me, right? Come on. It also means, well, some people might start getting the sweats because you're like, oh, wow, this is getting serious, right? You don't give someone the keys unless you trust them. You are giving them full access to the most vulnerable, intimate, most treasured places of your heart and your life. Matthew 16, 13 through 19, it starts describing some of these keys to the kingdom. So Jesus gave us some very important keys to living out God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, right? And he did this, why? Because he wanted to give you some keys, because Satan is feeding you a very steady stream of lies, right? How many people, I've had 2 weeks where Satan was hitting my brain with lies. I mean, it was abnormal. Come on, we all have like negative thoughts, right? We live in a negative world. But for the last 2 weeks, I was being berated with consistent, negative, attacking, like ugly thoughts, not my normal. And I had to daily throughout the day tell Satan to get out of my head. I was like, in the name of Jesus, get out. Like, I cannot go down this path. It was a very toxic, come on, pastors have these weeks, right? My brain was under attack. Okay, so Satan sends you a very steady stream of lies. And one of the things he really wants to do by lying to you and deceiving you is he wants you to think, number one, that he is far more powerful than he actually is. Now, Satan does have power, and he does have a lot of it, right? But it is limited. You hear me? It is limited. So Satan has a limited power, and he has limited authority because his authority is what was stolen from us. So think about this. Satan usurped the lease on this earth through trickery, and I talked about this last week. And he stole the keys of the authority because we weren't using them. We fumbled in sin. And Jesus died to give it back to us, right? And why is he like working really hard of recent? It's been a rough couple years, right? Because he knows his lease is running up. And he's panicking, and he's just attacking like none other, but he's also overplayed his hand and has very much unmasked the thief, right? We know who's behind all this. And why did he work so hard with such fear and terror and torment in the mind? Come on, how many people during that lockup during pandemic really dealt with, Pastor D and I, for hours every day in the office, we come in the office and what we sat down with the directory and just called people over and over again to check in because they were dealing with battles of isolation in their mind. Mental health was just going off the charts. Come on, let's real. Why? Satan wants you to think you are a powerless victim. He wants you to go through life with a powerless victim mindset, because it'll keep you on the bench and out of the game. And how people know life is more fun when you're in the middle of the game, right? All right, so Jesus overcame. This is where I left off last week, and I want to jump back in. Jesus overcame and defeated Satan at the cross 2,000 years ago. And it was a completed work. So that means every battle we've ever faced, every sickness, every disease, all torment, everything that we've ever faced in life, that victory was won 2,000 years ago at the finished work of the cross. So that means Jesus doesn't have to be tortured ever again, right? That it was a price that was absolutely paid in full. So Colossians 2, verse 15, it said this, that Jesus made a public spectacle. This is where I ended last week. It says, Jesus, having disarmed, stripped the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Let the whole world see them being led astray as prisoners as Jesus celebrated his victory. And I kind of opened up some cultural context of that, and that's where we ended last week. So this thought in Ephesians 2, verse 6, I'm doing a little review to get everybody on the same page, is that we were given this victory with him, chair number one. When Jesus was tortured and beaten beyond human recognition, it actually says he was beaten up so badly in the end of Isaiah 52, it said that it looked like he was a piece of meat hung up in a butcher shop. It was that he looked almost not human. And when we get stuck in this powerless victim mindset, we kind of say that wasn't enough. For real. And then it goes on to say in Isaiah 53 that he took all the pain and all the weaknesses and all the sins of the world, all sickness, all disease, hung on that cross. He was whipped beyond human recognition so that we were made healed and whole. And the battle is to remember that. The battle really is in our mind. And when we get heavy diagnosis, when we get big bills, when we get pink slips, when the debtors come knocking, we go, okay, this victory was won at the cross 2,000 years ago. And we have to fight to stay in faith. Because Jesus made a public spectacle of them, made a public shame of them, so you knew when Satan came knocking that he was already defeated, and that we were then, Ephesians 2, 6, we were joint seated with him. We were raised with him to a new life with him, joint seated in heavenly places, chair number one. Ephesians 1, 19 through 22, these are things you probably should pray every day when you're in the thick of a battle. It says this, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realms. And he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things, everybody say all things, all things, under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Everybody say amen. That's easy to say amen on, right? Now here's where it gets a little tricky. Then it says throughout the word, throughout the New Testament, it then says this, that Jesus then gave us delegated authority and power over all the works of the enemy. And then we go, oh, heavy thoughts. Okay. That's why Jesus took every opportunity. I want you to join me. Just go through the Gospels. You know, a lot of time we skip over the Gospels because they're familiar stories, right? The stories that we teach kids. They are the most profound stories in the Bible because Jesus demonstrated the kingdom of God and his power and his authority on earth to display what was in heaven was supposed to come to earth. And then he said, now you do it. Come on, all you parents. Parents, we challenge our children to do hard things, right? And then we do hard things first, and they say, come on, now you do it with me. My dad, do you know why I'm so good at talking to strangers? My dad would make me talk to strangers all the time. We would have conversations with everybody. How many people are you a talk to strangers person? In our relationship, I am the talk to strangers person, and Brad can fix literally anything. It's amazing, superpowers. So I will talk to all the strangers, and he fixes everything. It's great. But I learned this because my dad would make me do hard things. Because he would show me how to engage in conversation and how to pray with people and how to love people that honestly were very hard to love and honor and value. And he says, okay, now everything I'm doing, do it with me. It's a good parent, right? And God is a good, good father. And he had Jesus, I see parents going, see? I'm going to raise my kids the same way. All right. Jesus is saying this, okay, so I'm going to do the things that are in my father's heart because I'm just like him, right? And every person that came to Jesus and had faith for healing was healed, right? And Jesus said this, okay? This is when it gets sticky, right? Matthew 10 verses 1 and 9 verse 1. Just, can you guys go on a journey with the Gospels? Just blow through Luke, then hit Matthew, Mark, and John, and just go, everything Jesus did, I'm supposed to do that too. And you know what the great thing about the Gospel? It's so simple. Religion complicates it. If you go to a church and you can't understand what they're saying because you need like a Google theology, you know, listen, you probably just make it, it's religious. They're making it complicated. Jesus did really simple things. He said, you got to come to God like a child. Just have faith. Keep it simple, right? And Jesus simply said this, guys. He said this. He says, Jesus called his 12 disciples together. He called the fam. All right, guys, you know everything I've been doing? You know, releasing healing and bringing freedom, setting people free, lifting people up that have been downtrodden by society and said you're nothing and you're not good enough and God doesn't love you. And Jesus goes, but I do. And I'm just like my Father. Come and follow me. I'll teach you everything I'm doing and you can do it with me. He says this. He goes, he called all of his disciples together and gave them power and authority over all the demons. Do we talk about demons in church? Yes, Jesus talked about them all the time. We're not a weak sauce church, right? I'm not going to live with my head in the sand. He says, I have given you all power and authority over all the demons and, oh, to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. I love the Amplified Bible. That sounds really all-inclusive. So there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no oppression that is too big for Jesus. And we are conduit carriers of his power. He's the power source, right? We talked about this. He's the power source. I just get to let him flow through me to heal and bring freedom and deliverance. How incredible. There's no pressure there. I'm just the source. I just got to turn on the faucet. So he took every opportunity to teach it, to demonstrate, and continually emphasize. And he says this, hey, when life gets hard, don't get going. Don't bench yourself. Don't get depressed. Life is hard. How many people know? Following Jesus is hard. I do not sell you a candy-coated gospel. You are people like, oh, I follow Jesus. Your life is perfect. Amen. Blessed down. Glory. Shake and run. It's hard. There is, you count the cost. He says, it'll cost you everything. Sometimes it costs you friends, sometimes it costs you family, sometimes it'll cost you a job, but is it worth it? Absolutely, because I'm doing it with him. Did you know you can go through hell and back? You can go through the valley of the shadow. How many people have walked through the valley of the shadow of death? How many people feel like you're in it right now? But you are not alone, and he will walk you through it. Isaiah 43 says this. He says, oh, you're going to go through fire, but you ain't going to smell like smoke. We're going to walk through it together. Oh, yeah, you're going to go through the flood. How many people actually had a literal flood in their house? He says, but guess what? You're not going to drown, and we're going to go through it together. And then he says, I know I'm preaching. How about Isaiah 43. And he says, guess what? When you get through it, don't fear, because behold, put your head up. Look, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. Don't you see it? Things are springing up. I don't got time for the doom and gloomer Christianity. You want to get stuck on the bench, that's fine. Listen, there are too many lives transforming. Right? I don't really have time to like wallow in it. God is doing a new thing. And he will use your story of going through that horrible hell time to go help someone else. Amen? So keep sharing your story. Keep talking to strangers. Keep connecting, right? Because the story that you've been given preaches the gospel. Jesus is constantly telling us, hey, don't forget the delegated authority and power over all the attacks of the enemy. Luke 10, 19. This is the Amplified Bible. I like reading it. I think sometimes we miss some things that get lost in translation. The Amplified Bible takes like 5 different translations and talks like a girl. We just add a lot of adjectives in there. Don't you just love women? They just tell you and 20 sentences, what they could say in one sentence, but hey, you get a full picture, all right? Girls love the Amplified Bible, but all right, it's good. So Jesus said, listen carefully. If Jesus says listen carefully, I would maybe read it a couple times, right? It says, I have given you authority and power that you now possess. Everybody say, I now possess. Why? Because I asked Jesus into my life, and I said, Holy Spirit, I want all of you I can get. You have access to every nook and cranny of my life. I can't change me, but you can transform me. Fill me up. The Spirit-filled life is an all-access pass. I have given you authority and power that you now possess to trample on serpents and scorpions and the physical and mental strength and ability to exercise authority over all the powers of the enemy. So this concept of exercise, how many people love exercise? Because it's so easy. Yeah, okay. This is me at the gym. And you know this because sometimes I go to Planet Fitness sometimes and I'll just bring somebody. You know, black card member just means I can bring a distraction with me because sweating is more fun with someone to talk to. And I pretty much will like hit, you know, Brad when he's beside me is always like hitting the up incline, you know, and because he wants me to exercise, right? You know, instead of just taking it easy. But when you exercise, you build muscle. When you lift heavy weights, when you do hard things, you build muscle. Last week we talked about weak sauce Christianity. We're afraid to get a little spicy sometimes, right? You know, sometimes you got to do some hard things and turn up the heat. Why? Because then you will build muscle. But if you do not pray with the same passion and authority against the common cold, what are you going to do when cancer comes? Because we have to exercise our authority in Christ Jesus in the healing power he's given us for allergies, for the common cold, for a sprained ankle. Because when the heavy thing comes, you've built up a muscle to see God's faithfulness. Amen? Because he's good. He says, I have given you, ready, the physical and mental strength and ability to exercise authority over all the powers of the enemy. Satan possesses, all the powers that Satan possesses, and nothing will in any way harm you. So we are commissioned to use these keys of the kingdom to bring heaven to earth. Okay, so remember the Lord's Prayer? We all memorize this, and we just turn our brain off. Okay, the very opening line of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:10, everybody repeat after me, the Lord's Prayer, ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do we know God's will? You got to read that Bible and in context and just get off the scripture of the day app because you'll miss all the good stuff, okay? Read it in context. If it doesn't exist in heaven, it is not supposed to exist on earth. It is not God's will that we suffer with sickness and disease and mental torment. There is no more tears in heaven, right? We're comforted. The comfort of heaven past grief. How many people know that we have lost loved ones. But how many people know when you walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he is with me and he comforts me and he strengthens me. So yes, there is a time to grieve and cry, but he will walk us through it, because there is grief, but there's a torment that Satan comes after you past the grief. Does that make sense? The Bible says we are to grieve. We must grieve. God gave us these emotions. He gave us tears. Let it out. Don't stuff it. It's not healthy. Jesus says, laugh with those that laugh. Cry with those that cry. Grieve that those are grieving, right? But he gives us a supernatural comfort past these things. There is no sickness, disease, or mental torment in heaven. Therefore, it is not his will that we suffer through that in earth, right? And therefore, I know that I have a key to access the blessings of God on earth as it is in heaven through the power of the name of Jesus. He gave us these vital keys to the kingdom of his delegated authority and power to bring heaven to earth, to bring healing, to bring freedom, to bring truth, to bring love, to bring joy, to bring peace, to bring light that pierces the darkness and tells it to flee. If you want to know how to truly walk in the keys of the kingdom that we're going to talk about, it all boils down to just hanging out with Jesus every day. Truly. How do you get to know someone? How do you start to understand the relationship that you have with them? You just start hanging out. You plop open your Bible with no agenda, and you say, Jesus, reveal yourself to me. I want to know your heart. I want to know how you see people. I want to know how you see the world. I want to know how you see me so I can start to love me, so I can start to love others. And give him this space and time to talk to you. And do you know he talks to us all in different ways? How many people are all different? How many people are totally night and day different than their spouse? Thank God, different is good, okay? Makes us better. But he's going to talk to you different. Sometimes it might be a fleeting thought. Sometimes it's normally just a scripture that jumps off the page into your heart that you just can't shake. And, oh, that's God talking to me. Something that applies to your life. God talks to me in fuzzy daydreams all the time. I just thought I was like ADD, distracted all the time. I just get these fuzzy daydreams. And what I realized, the more I got in the Word, I started understanding his voice. And those little fuzzy daydreams started lining up with scripture. So if you get a little fuzzy daydream, go, God, is this you talking to me? Show me in your Word. This is how we stay out of crazy town. Show me in your Word. Everybody say, show me in your Word. Brad's friend always goes, is it in the book? Okay. Listen, sometimes it's not in the book. Don't preach it if it's not in the book. Okay, it's in the Word, right? He's talking to us. All right, and we start hanging out with the Lord. And then we go, in every opportunity, whatever Jesus did, I'm going to go do it too. He set captives free. He released healing wherever he went. He loved every person. He valued people. He honored. He stopped what he was doing to go grab someone that was stuck in a ditch of life that was totally overlooked and blown off by everyone else. Where everyone else says they're not worthy, they're not worth it. Religion kicks them away. And Jesus goes, stops everything. I love you. I value you. Come do life with me. Start hanging out with him. We start seeing how Jesus sees people. We start doing what Jesus was doing. And we start being transformed into his image. And this is when we become the hands and feet of Jesus on the earth. This is how God answers prayer. When believers take action and do the stuff that Jesus did. When we hang out with Jesus, it affirms in our heart, we start getting this confidence. Faith is confidence in God. My uncle always says that. Faith is confidence in God. When I hang out with someone, my confidence in their character and their nature, the fact that they always keep their word. My husband always keeps his word. He does. And when my husband says he hears from God, he hears from God. Let me tell you, you know, girls, we get these things called emotions. Makes it hard to hear from God because our feelings are all, My husband, he prays. And when he said, hey, I've heard, I trust that because I hang out with him and he has been true to that. Does that make sense? When you hang out with the Lord and his word, you trust his word. Because you're hanging out and you're seeing his faithfulness. It doesn't often play out the way we wanted it. Never plays out in the timing. And why I always say this, get off your timeline. Get out of the box. Stop shoving God in the box because we get really selfish. You need to answer my prayers like this in 20 seconds. Or I'm just going to be mad at you and not come to church. Ah! All right. Who is Jesus to you? How many people have gotten a revelation that he is your best friend? Whew. He is your savior. He is the lover of your soul, okay? The strength of your life, your rock. He will reveal himself to you when you just hang out with him. Like I said, open up the Bible with no agenda and go, God, what do you want to talk about? You ever just hung out with a friend with no agenda? Just, hey, let's grab some coffee. What do you want to talk about? Those are the best times, just hanging out, no agenda. All right, Matthew 16, 13 through 20. This is where I want to go. Jesus is talking to some people. There are layers in Jesus' life. There's, you know, the people that just follow him for the entertainment, for the free food, for the blessing. And then, you know, his inner circle, his disciples. And then he has his three best friends that he just took into the secret places of him, into the places of prayer. Start praying with your friends. Man, you'll get to know them in a way that you've never known them before. Because it knits your heart together. Let me tell you this. If you're in conflict with someone, how many people just have someone in your life that just drive you nuts? Drive you nuts. Ugh. Start praying with them. You're like, really? You can do it on the phone. And you can hang up after 15 minutes. It's okay. Set a timer. Okay. Because if you start praying with someone, Holy Spirit in them will translate Holy Spirit in you. And you'll start to connect in your hearts and understand each other. I have found that there are people that Satan just really wants to cause division in my life. And if I just start praying with them, suddenly we may not agree with each other, but we'll start to understand and honor each other. So when you come to Pastor D and I go, someone's, there's, I was like, okay, I would like you to start praying with them. What? Trust me. Do it for about a month, and all of a sudden, like, you're like, that's okay, we agree to disagree. We're on the same team. Can we move forward now? Pass the drama and stop dividing churches. All right, Matthew 16, 13 to 20. Now, when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do you say that I am, right? And they answered with the safe answer. Because nobody, how many people know the first one to stick their neck out there normally takes the heat? You know, the first one to raise your hand in class. How many people always wait till like three other people raise their hand? You're like, meh. Okay. So they start giving safe answers, and the answers, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah, or just one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Now this is when things start separating. Who wants to put their neck out there? You say that Jesus is the healer, but when someone says they're sick and they get a really bad diagnosis, are you the first one to stick your neck out and go, but I know the healer. Can I pray for you? And not, oh God, will you please heal them, but in the name of Jesus, I command this body to line up to the word of God, sickness, disease, you go, and I release the healing power of God. Lord, I thank you, you are rewiring their brain. In Jesus' name, every neural pathway is healthy. Lord God, every connector, everything is firing off just the way it's supposed to because you are the healer. Or are you going to go, oh, I'll pray for you. We'll keep you in our prayers. Stick our neck out there. Who stuck their neck out? Peter, because Peter, my favorite, because he's an idiot, and I'm an idiot, and I always say dumb things because I like say things before thinking. This is the one time it paid off. Okay, Peter hung out with Jesus all the time. Remember Peter, the guy that's okay to stick his neck out there and take a risk? He's okay with looking dumb. He looks dumb a lot in the Bible, which is why I love him, because I look dumb a lot. I just do stupid things. All right, Peter, remember Peter? He's sitting in the boat. Hey, Jesus, call me to come out and walk on water. He is not afraid of failure. Are we so stuck in our pride that we're afraid of looking stupid or failing? Well, at least he went down in the history books of the only guy that ever walked on water. Well, he sank. But he walked on water. So Peter, because he hangs out with Jesus and knows that Jesus is true to the word and everything that Jesus does or says, he backs it up. And Peter's the first one that goes, Jesus, he said, Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Boom, drop the mic. And Jesus goes, someone's finally been paying attention. No. So I want to say this, you know, it takes courage to stick your neck out there because Christians are the most persecuted religion in America for the first time in our history. Life on the other side. And they don't even burn your home and murder your family in the United States of America. But we don't want to stick our neck out there. I'm a Christian, and I don't do this whole, I'm a follower of, excuse me, I get annoyed with the people that won't call themselves Christians anymore because, oh, Christians have given us a bad name. I'm just a follower of Jesus. I'm like, take back the title, okay? You know, I'm not afraid. I am a Christian. I don't care how many other Christians make me look bad and post stupid things on their social media that look nothing like Jesus. I'm a Christian, okay? Proudly. All right. Peter declared what he saw and knew because he hung out with Jesus every day. And he knew he was true to his word and true to his promises. He's the Son of the living God. What is really dangerous, and we talked about weak sauce Christians, I like hot sauce. Put hot sauce on my bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit this morning. It was great. No, croissant. It was a croissant. I love croissants. How many people love croissants? So good. All right. Hot sauce Christianity. We talked about it last week. Weak sauce Christianity is your belief system is defined by your experiences. Or worse yet, your belief system is defined by other people's experiences. Well, the Bible says that Jesus is a healer, but so-and-so said this, and this happened to so-and-so, and da-da-da-da-da. Listen, I have buried so many loved ones, but I'm not going to get stuck there because I still serve a healing God that brings resurrection life. And I have seen miracles and signs and wonders. And my belief system is not defined by my experiences, and it definitely won't be defined by someone else's experiences and the dumb book they wrote. and backed it up with words that I don't even understand or pronounce, and their theology is the yes, but. My theology is Jesus Christ. I thank God. God called me to be a youth minister. I love teens. Why? They don't have time for baloney. Right? No, you don't got time. Listen, Alasia does not have time for people's drama and baloney. They don't. They want the simplistic, just say it truth. Just say it. Right? They'll respect you, okay? They don't want your like long, complicated theology, okay? The facts are always subject to change. But God's word is ultimate truth. But I'm also not smart enough, nor am I prideful or arrogant enough to explain away everything. So you know what? When I prayed and something didn't happen, I just chalk it up to the mysteries. The mysteries of God. There's a wonderful man of God in California. His name's Bill Johnson. And he has had so many documented miracles through his ministry. It's awesome. But he also buried his father and his wife. But he's seen blind eyes open, ears open, mental illness, schizophrenia healed over the course of a year. He's seen a couple cases of it. It's wild. And when it doesn't happen, he just says, it's just the mysteries. And you know what? We'll figure it out when we get to the other side. Because am I okay to say that I don't have to have it all figured out? There's probably a billion other people in the world that are smarter than me. I'm pretty dang smart. But I don't have to figure it all out. I know God's word is ultimate truth. And when things don't pan out, I just go, Lord, you know what? I guess when I get to the other side, in the meantime, I'm going to lay hands on the sick. In the meantime, I'm going to pray for healing and freedom. And every imbalance in your brain, the Lord is the healer. And there is no case that is too big for God. Otherwise, I have to tear out large chunks of the Bible, and that's called a cult. So I guess I'm just going to keep it simple. So then Jesus answered Peter, and he says, blessed, happy, spiritually secure, and favored by God, you are Simon Peter. Simon Peter translates to pebble. It means this, you know, little small, little thing. Because that's what people called Simon Peter. It was his, you know, name. He says, because of mortal man did not reveal this to you, other people's experiences did not define how he saw Jesus. He says, but my Father who is in heaven. And he said, I say to you, you are Peter, which means rock. Things got a lot stronger and bigger. He says, and on this rock I will build my church. So when you go to Matthew chapter 7, you know the parable of, it's the parable about the guy that builds his house on the sand and the guy that builds his house on the rock. It says, you that hear the word of God but don't practice it. Exercise. You build your house on sifting sand, and when the rains and the storms and a pandemic comes, you hoard toilet paper in your basement, and your ministry is now doom and gloom YouTube videos. And you're just shaking and falling apart. And everyone else around you is falling apart too, because you were called to be the rock. And build your house on the rock, Jesus Christ. It says in Matthew chapter 7 that if you build your house on the rock of Jesus Christ, who is the word, the greatest stumbling block, because he will defy your experiential theology. Yeah, he will stumble you. He says hard things. He says some tough love stuff in the word when you read it in context. I'm so tired of everybody just posting the sugary sweet one little scripture. Well, there's some hard things before it and after it. It's called tough love, but it's because he loves you. He loves you so much. You build the house on the rock when you, it says, when you hear the word of God and practice it. You do the stuff. Everyone can come to church and say, amen, amen, praise God, glory to God, amen, you're the healer. But when someone gets a bad diagnosis, are you the first one and sticks your neck out like Peter says, can I pray for you? And not one of them weak sauce, wish and will prayers. Oh, God, please. Oh, have mercy. Oh, please, if it be thy will you please heal them from cancer. It is not God's will that any person has cancer. God does not put cancer on you to teach you a lesson. It is one of the most demonic, horrible diseases in the world because it causes your body to eat itself alive with tremendous suffering. God did not give you cancer to teach you a lesson. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. But Jesus came to give not cancer, but life and life more abundantly. He came to heal. A house divided against itself will not stand. He doesn't give you cancer to then heal it to teach you a lesson. We on the same page? All right. So it says, then I will build my church on this rock, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not overpower it. At Caesarea Philippi, there was this actual like geological place, and they called it the gates of hell, and I don't have time to teach it, because I got about not that much time. But what you go back into the original Greek and Hebrew is this context of the translation was not when hell comes at you. It was a pressing in. It was a forward-moving assault. They weren't playing defense and running the clock on life, waiting for swing low, sweet chariot, come back and take me home. Oh, the Lord's coming. I'm just running the clock. They were running out into the battle, into the powers of darkness, and storming the gates of hell. And it says it cannot stand and withhold against you. You're going to stick your neck out there and take a forward offensive. I don't care if you offend them by saying, can I pray for you? And they say, no, that's okay. I go to Walmart, and I remember talking to this lady, and she was telling me about some things in her life. I said, hey, can I pray for you? No. So I kept talking to her. And just, that's okay. I just kept talking. It's fine. You know, I didn't jam it down her throat or whatever. It was great. And at the end, I go, hey, you know, do you believe in Jesus? I do. I was like, oh, praise God. Confess Jesus. Okay. Do you believe your Lord? I do. I just quit going to church because Christians are jerks, essentially. Can I pray for you? No. I said, that's all right. I had a great conversation because I represented Jesus well. I didn't beat him with the Bible, but they did confess Jesus as their Savior. How cool is that? Sneaky. That's sneaky. Okay. All right. All right. 19. I'm on page 3. Jesus said, I will give you the keys. Everybody, genuine keys. Keys. With authority comes responsibility. God gives you keys. People get locked out, you better use them. It says, I will give you the keys, authority, of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be unlawful on earth, will be bound in heaven, the spirit world. And whatever you release, permit, declare, unlawful on earth, will be loosed in heaven, the spirit world. People get really stuck on this. Can I just give you the youth pastor translation of this? If it's bad, tell it to go in the name of Jesus. If it's good and you got the answer, go listen. Just pour it out in Jesus' name. Real simple prayers. You got to pray simple. Kid prayers are powerful. Listen, I'm telling you, if you are struggling in your faith, have a little kid pray for you. I'm serious. And listen, they preach the gospel downstairs. They teach your kids how to pray for the sick. They teach your kids on how to pray for someone with love and joy and peace. So listen, if you're struggling in your faith, you just get a little kid in this church. Not alone, don't be weird, okay? Ask their parent, hey, can your son just lay their hand on my shoulder and just pray for me? I got really, really bad joint pain. And you just say, joint pain, go in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, we just release your healing power. Simple prayers. Because whatever is on earth that is not in heaven's got to go in the name of Jesus. Everybody jingle your keys. He's giving you keys, they're really simple keys. With keys come authority and responsibility, but it's our job to use it. All right, let me give you another little key here. When you're praying for someone, you don't pray against the person. Hello, all you people that are praying for people in authority and government. You don't pray against the person. Did you know it's unscriptural? The Lord said to bless your enemies. Oh, this is getting hard. Oh, it's hot in here. To get hot is political season. Oh, it's a voting. Okay, all right, all right. By the way, research platforms, look it up the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, you're voting against the Bible, which is the will of God, and you stand before God for that. So you better vote according to the word of God and don't try to justify baloney that's not in the Bible. Clear? Please vote. No, better vote. I'm commanding you. No, I'm going to get in trouble. Go vote, okay? People died in our country, so you could vote. Go vote. All right, here we go. People get hot, gets hot in here. You can't pray against the person. Bless your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you and spend money in the way that you don't agree with. All right, moving on. We are to pray against the demonic influence over that person. We are to pray against the demonic blinders. Why do people do dumb things? Because they're deceived. They don't know they're deceived. Otherwise, they'd say, I was deceived. No one that's deceived says they're deceived. Okay, they're just doing dumb things. Why? Because they're driving around. Do you know why people do? Okay, if someone was driving around really, really fast on the highway with a blindfold on, you'd be like, why? You're wrecking everything. You're messing people. Why? Because they can't see. Religion, a spirit of religion. Jesus said, you have eyes, but you can't see because you're so stuck on yourself. Satan is the god of this world, and he has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So stop hating on them and cursing them, and stop cursing them on your social media, because I will find you and tell you no one wants to come to your church because you're cursing people on your social media. Hear me out. Pray against the blinders. Tell those lying spirits, those deceiving spirits to go in the name of Jesus, because they can't see the truth. They can't. If it smacked them in the face, they'd still wearing a blinder. They can't read the signs. They can't read the signs of the times. Remember, Jesus said to the religious folk, you guys crazy, you keep asking, you can't even read the obvious signs. Come on. You don't pray against the person. You pray against the demonic influences influencing the person, because Jesus loved the person, died for that person, has a purpose and plan for that person. Remember how he called Paul? Paul was a murderer. Dragging women and children, throwing them in jail. I mean, horrific. He was a terrible person. And God had a plan for Paul's life. Remember those little scales that fell from his eyes? Let's start praying for the person and against the blinders and against the scales so they can see the truth, walk in freedom. And then what did Paul do? He set other people free. The greatest leaders in life are ones that fought for the other side because they know all the tactics. They know the language. They can go to places that you can't go. They can influence places in government that you can't. So let's go steal them back. Let's pray for them, and don't just pray for them. Tell them about Jesus. And if they don't want to let you tell them about Jesus, start living it out. Start shining. Start loving on their spouses, their kids. You tell you what, if maybe you're the cleaning lady in their house and you scrub that place crystal spotless clear and you just tell them that you love them every day you leave, even if you don't agree with how they vote, and you shine. And you know what? And when they find out grandma's in the hospital and you see them crying, he goes, hey, I want you to know, can I pray for your grandma? They're probably going to let you pray for them at that point. And even if they say no, are you going to pray for them? Absolutely. Where are we at here? So we pray the answer. We release the blessings of heaven. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, healing, freedom. Verse 20 says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. This is the power of the prayer of agreement. So here's something we, oh yeah, that's good, Sherry. Amen, amen. If you don't hang out with people, you're going to be praying with them? Do you think it's easy to agree with someone that you don't hang out with a little bit? So I tell you this all the time. Would you please hang out with people that are different than you? Please. The fastest way to get weird and just become a funky Christian with this just that only like there are three people that they hang out with and their weirdness listen to and pray with. Start doing life with people that are different with you than you. Start praying with them. And when there's a need, you know, might not agree with everything, but two or more are gathered together. There is, remember, we are conduits. Remember when I preached this? Conduits have to connect for power to flow through. Jesus is the power source. When we connect, we are jointed together in Christ Jesus, right? Everybody has a part to play. When you connect and you pray, when you connect in fellowship, when you do life together, you do a grow group together, you call each other up when it hits the fan, that connection, it is easier to come along their side in agreement. And he is in the midst of the power of unity. Amen? Matthew 16, 18, Jesus is saying, I have given you the keys of the kingdom that unlock the delegated authority that he has given us on earth. Are you going to use the authority that Jesus died for to give you? Are you going to release the power of God? I'm not the power. He's the power, right? So I love my Jeep. You know I love my Jeep. Let's just say I gave Trevor. No, you got to. Who do I want to get here? Emma. There you go. Perfect. Because you don't have a car yet. You already have a car. It's like half valued, right? Emma, I'm going to give you the keys to my brand new, I do not have a, I have a very used, lovely vehicle, all right, but if I gave you a brand new Jeep, and I gave you the keys, and it has this huge Hemi engine, which is a hauling engine, how many people know that it's a really great engine? You can do a lot with that. You can haul a boat. You can go have fun, okay? You can go do cool stuff. So if I give you the keys, and I say, hey, here's the title, here's the keys, Emma, it's yours. And I was like, yes. And all you tell everybody about it. You post on your social media. I've got a new car. I got a Jeep. And you take all the photos, you know. You know, hey, here's my new Jeep. Here's my car. You know, this is what we do, right? You'd be really excited about it. And, you know, maybe I even see you sitting in your Jeep because I stalk you and drive past your house. You know, I'm friends with their parents. Okay. And I see you sitting there, you know, like, you know, sitting there really excited. And you know, you're just like hanging and just sitting in your Jeep. Enjoying the fact that I have this power, I have this authority, sit at church, amen, amen, bless God, hallelujah. But if you don't put the keys in the ignition and turn it and take action, are you really using the very powerful and expensive vehicle that Jesus died for to give you? Or is it just collecting dust in your garage with a little dust cover over and just show your friends, oh, look at this. How many people get annoyed when people have like this really cool vehicle and they don't even drive it? Like, just take him. Brad and I will just sit in the back and just take us for a drive in your cool car. You got to take it out there. God's word was a creative force, and his spoken word created the heavens and the earth. The most powerful force on the planet is the word of God, the Bible that you need to read. Because there's so many weak sauce prayers, because it feels good. Oh, that prayer felt so good. Oh, my emotions, I cried. It's not scriptural. The most powerful prayers you could ever pray, right out of the word of God. When your word lines up with his word in faith, because I'm hanging out with him every day, and that's where faith is grown. You know the authority. You know he gave you the keys. You know he gave you the title. And I speak the word of God in faith. You're going to have to take some risks. You're going to have to pray for people out loud. You're going to have to lay hands on people on their shoulder. And if they're not into the whole touching thing, that's okay. You can just speak it because Jesus spoke to people and they were miraculously healed. We have authority and power in the name of Jesus. John 10:9 says this, that Jesus said, I am the door. When we pray to the Father in the name of his Son, Jesus is the key. Right? The name of Jesus is the key that opens up the door to the blessings of his promises from heaven to earth. There's a lot of funny theology that's only based on the Old Testament. And like I said, I'm not the smartest person in the universe. I don't have it all figured out. But if you think about this, you know, there's a lot of, oh, do I have time? I have 5 minutes, man. I might need to explain it a little bit more in the future. The world in the Old Testament, you know, it was very powerless, right? Because Adam and Eve were given the keys to the kingdom, right? Go forth and multiply. Take dominion over the earth, okay? And then and they decided to do the original sin, which is life on your own terms. I want to do my thing, God. I don't need you to be my source. I want your blessing. Boom. Separation came. And they lost power and authority, and Satan has been taking a demonic joyride with your keys to your car and wreaking havoc. But Jesus paid the price to give it back. So the problem with the Old Testament was this, is they didn't have the power or the authority to kick Satan in the teeth. So there wasn't a lot of teaching on power and authority in the Old Testament. Why? Because they didn't have any. Jesus didn't come to give it back to them. So we have, everybody go like this, like you're looking through a keyhole. The Old Testament, we were looking through a keyhole of a very limited view and perspective. I'm only seeing a little piece of the puzzle. The view of Father God was very limited, right? Holy Spirit was only coming on a couple per generation, prophets, priests, and kings. And they couldn't see the heart of the Father. They couldn't see Jesus. They didn't know. And then Jesus came, died on the cross for our sins, and kicked the door down. And all of a sudden, we had access, and he goes, hey, guess what? You guys got it all wrong. I'm just like my Father, and he's a good, good dad. And only a sadistic dad would inject his child with a coronavirus to teach him a lesson. Those are the ones we lock up and say, you don't get to ever see your kids again. That's abuse. Father God is not an abusive, sadistic father that tortures his children to teach him a lesson. Our society says you are not worthy to parent your child, and we will give them to someone else through the power of adoption. Jesus kicked the door down and says, whoa, guess what? You don't have to look through that keyhole any around. I am just like him. And every person that comes to me, it is my will to heal them. And I'm a good, good father. I am not twisted. There is no twist or shadow in me. So what's the point of keys if you don't use them in faith? We often forget our delegated authority because we just forgot who we are, because we are seated in chair number one, joint seated with him in heavenly places. And every victory from every battle that you've ever fought in life was won at the cross 2,000 years ago. I guess I kind of want to leave you on this thought, and we'll kind of end on Luke 10. In the midst of a battle, it is important to stay connected with people. Luke 10, verse 1, Jesus sent his disciples out, his followers out, two by two. He did not send them alone into the world. He said, hey, guess what? Let me tell you the power of team and the power of community and the gathering together of the saints and actually have friends at church. And you actually know about what the lives of the people sitting across in the other row are like because you actually talk to them. Maybe you do lunch or a grow group, okay. So he sent them out two by two so they wouldn't get isolated and discouraged in daily ministry is hard because people are people-y. I adopted that term from my friend Ashley. Yeah, people are jerks sometimes. She's like, people are people-y. I was like, they're jerks. They're people-y. Okay. It's hard, right? So when life gets hard and things get rough and people kick you in the teeth, you get another person that's going to encourage you and build you up and strengthen you and say, hey, but God's word is true. And listen, he's given you a power and authority. And I don't care what that diagnosis is. And I don't care how long it takes because Jesus is the healer. And we are going to walk through this together. Amen? Many people are living powerless, depressed lives because they are isolated. And they think that they can do church without actually having real friends. That's not church. You think church is a building. Oh, you think you can come on Sunday and do church. Church is people and a connection of people. And they get all isolated and tormented and just, I don't need friends. you know what friendly fire is? Is when someone accidentally shoots you, but they're on your team. And you're like, people are people-y. They're jerks. They shot me. Okay, it comes with the territory of doing life with people. And you're going to get shot every once in a while because people are jerks sometimes. They're not perfect. But guess what? Does that mean you are justified in not having friends and close relationships within church? Because Jesus sent them out two by two and says you're supposed to gather. So Luke 10, 9, Jesus commissioned them two by two to heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. The kingdom of God came in fullness, if you study it out, I don't have time, in the coming of Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And we all have access to now bring the kingdom of God from heaven to earth. Oh, so much I want to teach. That's okay, come back next week. It's 12:01. I have just scratched the surface. Luke 10, 17 to 20, I'm just going to read it. The 70 returned after going out and doing ministry in community with people, they return with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. He ain't no thing. Listen carefully. I have given you the authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions and the ability to exercise authority over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing will by any means harm you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. I've seen people get off track because they just kind of get their eyes on the power instead of the source. And it is all about setting people free. Breaking off torment, breaking off sickness and disease, breaking off everything that Satan is trying to attack them so they can walk in freedom and get their identity in Jesus Christ. And they can then do life with you because we are to go into all the world to preach the gospel, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons, and what? Make disciples. Go to the higher thing and do life with people and watch them transform because they are so great when they join your team. Amen. So please have lunch with someone. And if you can't go out to lunch, let's have a conversation and give them a scripture of encouragement. Pray for people for real. Amen. All right, let's stand up. Stretch your legs. Father God, in Jesus' name, we love you so much. We thank you for your word. It is truth. Let's just repeat after me. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for dying for me. I receive a revelation of your power and your authority. Who am I to pray for? I'll just say this. Holy Spirit, I want all of you I can get. Fill me up so I can overflow to the world around me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, you guys are loved. Altar ministry can come forward. If you'd like us to pray for you,